You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Good morning, listeners, and welcome to another episode of Palestine Remembered. Yes, that's right. Guess who's back? I hope you've missed me. I've certainly missed being here and speaking to you all. Had a wonderful trip to London, into the UK there. Many, when they saw me, I spoke at the student strike on Thursday, said, I hope you enjoyed your holiday. You deserved the break. Just to be clear, there is no break during a genocide. There is no break if you're a Palestinian. I was actually there for work. A group of people from the UK ecosystem wanted to learn what we were doing here to see if there was anything they could do to be better, quote unquote, to work better together, to coalesce in a more organized fashion to magnify their output, and certainly to our comrades there in the UK. Outstanding. And I'll talk about the Bridge March a little bit later, but you know, I spoke to 200 odd thousand people in London in driving rain at one of their smallest marches ever. And they told me about their million person march in late 23, where it never actually marched. It was so big, London was so full, it was just a full-on occupation. Before I talk about Palestine, I'm going to go with a little bit of a surprise. My next guest doesn't know that they're a guest. Giselle, who my executive producer here, she had a magnificent result whilst we're away. Giselle Hannah, who is the newly elected secretary of the Victorian Community and Public Sector Union, the PSU. Outstanding effort, Giselle. Cue canned clap.
It's accurate. I had no idea that I was your guest today.
I was overseas and I sent you a couple of texts, but I remember reading an article in the, you know, that wonderful paper, The Age. I imagine the Fairfax people are rolling over, but the newly elected militants leading the public sector union. Tell us.
They said a lot of things. They said self-identified socialist. They said...
Oh, my God. You want people to have housing and...
That's right.
You know.
They said... I can't even remember the things that they said. I was going to say, I mean, none of it's inaccurate, so it's not like I can fault them. They did do their research. It's all true. I am a socialist.
Well, I mean, I remember in the Let's Hit Peace agenda, Let's Get NASA, they said... I got a call from a reporter and he said... I want to ask you about a quote in your podcast. I said, okay, which podcast? What timestamp? When? He said, well, it doesn't matter. I said, well, I need context. You can't just pull out 10 words out of a podcast and say, what do you mean here? He goes, well, let me just read you what you said. I went, all right, whatever. You said that Israel was the epicenter of Western imperialism and hegemony and racism, and it's a domino, and when Israel falls over, it'll be a domino that helps lead to the collapse of Western empire and Western hegemony and lead to a better, brighter future for everyone. And I went, oh, yeah, and I said that.
That's a long quote.
Oh, you stand by it, NASA.
They quoted me in one of those classics as well. Again, straight off content on 3CR, where apparently I said capitalism is a brutal system that destroys human beings and the environment, and it needs to go, and the only way that it can go is through a violent revolution.
Okay.
They didn't ask me if I'd said it. They just quoted it. Okay. So, you know, that's fine. Those are my views.
Now back to Palestine. Congratulations again, Giselle, and I'm sure the members of the Victorian Community and Public Sector Union will be well served by you and your team, and I'm sure you will turn it back into a union that it needs to be. And hopefully, if you're not already a member of your union, I'm sure you would be if you're listening to this show, make sure you join. Unions only work when we have massive representation, but also massive participation, so get in there. Back to Palestine. We're not going to go through the macabre statistics of what's actually going on there, but we will talk about what we need to be doing, what's happening in the world, and what we're looking at. I read a report during the week about the Israeli medical academia. I don't know, I'm going to call them crew. I don't know what they are. Imagine being part of that, anything to do with that occupation, genocide, fascist state. But the quote from one of the directors of that entity was to say, you know, the data is a few months old, but the situation now is several times worse than we have ever imagined. And if anyone can think that we can be at the forefront of science and innovation while we are being boycotted, the answer is no, simply no. We won't feel it today. The erosion processes of science are slow, at this rate, in another 3 to 4 years, we'll be just another third world country. So to all of our academics that are boycotting the academia, Israeli academia, boycotting that fascist apartheid state, thank you, congratulations, keep it up. And that's something that each of us can do individually. And we can do it individually, and it's the most important thing for us to be doing is the boycott, supporting the boycott and divestment and sanctions campaign, is to be boycotting those products that we know are complicit in the oppression and genocide and occupation of the Palestinian people. And there's a simple consumer boycotts like Coca-Cola, like McDonald's, now Zara, but also Hewlett-Packard in particular. But where the value actually is using boycotts and divestments and sanctions as an education tool to empower your friends and family. It might be at, you know, the next staff gathering. It might be at a family event. It might be at kid pickup. Tell people the thing they can do is choose not to buy a Starbucks coffee. Choose not to go to McDonald's. Choose not to shop at Zara. And then talk about why. We need to cut off the economic incentive for Israel to continue to exist the way it exists. From a divestment point of view, as APAN has been running for some time now, our superannuation campaign, if you haven't, go to APAN, just Google APAN Super. It'll take you to a section, an online form, which will enable you to send a letter to your investment manager of your superannuation company to tell them that you don't want your retirement savings to be complicit in the occupation, oppression, and genocide of the Palestinian people. And we're starting to get some movement there. We're having conversations with certainly the union-led funds where we've got avenues into the leadership there and explaining, you know, you just can't hold assets in these companies. And they tell us all sorts of things like it's complicated and the law says we have to do the very best, get the best possible return. And to be clear, imagine you had $100 and $100 is 10,000 one-cent pieces. On average, the most any of these companies have of our retirement savings invested there is 12 cents out of those 10,000 one-cent pieces. It's not a lot of money. And we're not asking them to just throw the money away. We're saying if you own shares in some sort of company that is complicit in the ongoing occupation, oppression, and genocide of Palestinians, sell it. You own some shares in Airbnb. No one's saying walk away from the money. We're just saying sell Airbnb and buy Hilton, buy Hyatt, buy something else. But don't continue to support a company like Airbnb. And if you're a host, cancel, send them a letter saying this is the reason you're canceling, because you can rent an Israeli-owned property anywhere in illegally occupied West Bank, East Jerusalem, and you can rent it off Airbnb and use that platform, but you cannot rent off a Palestinian. Over and above, many of those homes are Palestinian homes that were stolen off Palestinians in 1948 or 1967. So cancel your Airbnb, don't use Airbnb, use a different site, and if you have an opportunity to tell them so, do so. But also, if you're anywhere near the procurement space at your work, if you're about to buy a laptop for your child, yourself, you know, a colleague is asking for recommendations, make sure you tell them to boycott Hewlett-Packard, HP, who've spun off a division of their business and called it HP something else, or drop the HP so as to try and distance themselves from their complicity in the occupation, oppression and genocide of the Palestinian people. But Hewlett-Packard creates some of the most disgusting, nefarious technology that allows for facial recognition, population control that the Israeli army uses. So find a way to get your company, your personal life, etc. to boycott Hewlett-Packard. Now, if you've already got a Hewlett-Packard, that's okay. You know, nobody's saying we don't want you to be throwing it in the bin. You know, we care about the environment as much as we care about Palestine. But don't renew it. Don't buy a new one. And the same with a SodaStream. If you've already got a SodaStream, so be it. But there are places to get the canisters that aren't from SodaStream. And if you do have a SodaStream machine, make sure you get one of the stickers from Free Palestine Printing to have on it and put it loud and proud. Cover the SodaStream logo, of course. But it's sitting in the middle of your kitchen so that when your friends come over, use it as a discussion point to explain the boycott, divestment, and sanctions campaign and why it's so important to not buy a SodaStream. And if you do have a SodaStream, to find an alternative gas supplier. We know how much stuff is going on in the background. This is one of the challenges with being a Palestinian so connected to the ecosystem. You hear stuff all over the place. And, you know, as Palestinians, we are so desperately aware of, you know, worldwide corporate complicity. And as Giselle just spoke a moment ago about what's happening within her work, but also capitalism, and if there's ever been a system of exploitation that has been perfected in the manner that it has. Microsoft. We've known that Microsoft is adjacently complicit. I and many have told me, no, they're very, very entrenched in the occupation, NASA. And I'm like, yeah, well, look, I really need a bit more than you telling me that. I need evidence-based research. And look, there's some of the campaigns that come out of the BNC and the BDS committee. You know, I'm trained as a scientist. I like to see a little bit more of the information, but, you know, I have full trust in them. Anyway, The Guardian reported during the week about Microsoft. You're not going to believe how Orwellian this is, that we're actually living in the first bit of the first Terminator movie. Leaders of Israel's military surveillance agency, Unit 8200, met with the boss of Microsoft, 2021, Satya Nadella, and said, we need to, you know, we want to expand our cloud service with you. We need to store more data. And, you know, business opportunity, you know, capitalism, we're not going to say no to that. They met in Seattle and they agreed to create some extra space in a dedicated area with extra security, etc., that allowed the Israeli spies to, you know, ensure that their data was encrypted. Palestinians in all of historic Palestine inside apartheid Israel rely on Israel, depend on Israel for everything. Entry, egress, birth registry, death registry, travel documentation. We all use the same currency, building permits, water permits. There, every facet of every bit of every Palestinian's life all over Earth at some point is impacted by apartheid Israel, even me here, but particularly those in the 67 territories. This is an example that borders on flabbergasting, and look, it's unimaginable. They got this extra space in a separate cloud with extra security just for Israel because, you know, Israel gets what Israel wants, apparently, out of the United States and corporate capitalism. 1 million phone calls an hour. Not only are the phone calls tracked, the entirety of the conversations are also recorded. They're recorded and stored. So Palestinians make a phone call. Number one, Palestinians still don't have 5G. We only got 4G a year and a bit ago, maybe actually before 2003, so a couple of years ago, 4G in parts of the West Bank. But every phone call goes off a tower, and every one of those towers Israel controls and monitors. 1 million phone calls an hour. Not only NASA called Giselle, but the entirety of the conversation that NASA and Giselle had is recorded. Israel runs AI over that, over our phone calls, and goes, oh, geez, NASA seemed a little bit angry today. What did Giselle say in return? Oh, Giselle tried to calm him down. She's not somebody we should speak to see if we can't help her out and do better. NASA, he's a bit angrier. Look, why don't we do something? And they'll perhaps put another algorithm over NASA. This is all AI. AI will then go from there and then choose whether or not, quote unquote, I need to be targeted or eliminated. We are living in the Terminator. And it's scary, scary to believe. And we say about a free Palestine frees us all. If you think that what Israel is refining and doing in Palestine stops there, you're dreaming, because it's coming to a store near you.
Hi, this is Rafif Ziada, and you're listening to 3CR, pro-Palestinian, happily proud radio.
One of the things that we'll be talking about increasingly as the Australia-Palestine Advocacy Network, and we would ask all of the activist groups to start taking up, is around Australians serving in the Israeli genocide forces, the Israeli death squads, the Israeli defence force, quote-unquote, Israeli occupation force. We know of that there is hundreds, possibly thousands of Australians that have served in those genocide forces. And we need to know that they're just not going to be able to come back into Australia and go back to situation normal. They can't go back into being childcare workers. They can't go back into being teachers. They can't go back into being doctors or lawyers. And there was a great report on SBS, might want to Google it, how many Australians are fighting with Israel's military in Gaza. It came off the work of the brilliant Australian Legal Centre, which is called the Australian Centre for International Justice, who are monitoring 20 Australian citizens who are serving in that criminal entity. And they're just watching them, and where they're communicating, as will we be advocating to government, about this scary phenomenon. I mean, it's outrageous that these war criminals will be coming home. They shouldn't be welcome. And the government keeps talking about social cohesion and safety. And what would strengthen that is to support accountability. Nobody's going to feel safe knowing that these genocidaires are walking freely amongst us, whether they were enforcing that illegal occupation or whether they were in Gaza, gallivanting around in women's lingerie, parading on children's toys, you know, blowing up schools, hospitals, etc. The fact that the Australian government is not stopping Australian citizens from serving in the Israeli military is shameful. Unfortunately, it's actually legal for an Australian citizen to serve in the Israeli military, but it's still shameful. I understand that they have issued notices to people who are travelling there who might be of military age to tell them to be careful. What does quote-unquote to be careful mean, and where does their obligation stop? I don't know, but certainly we should be questioning everyone that comes back and what did they do, and ensure that they are interviewed thoroughly, are made to sign statutory declarations so that we can, those things can be filed, so that when and if it is proven that they did, they'll have made a false testimony, and that will be used to ensure that they are held to account as they chased Nazis all over the world. You know, most recently, probably even a couple of years ago, somebody in Adelaide. These genocidaires, these enablers of the genocide of Palestinians, from Netanyahu down to, you know, the grunt who says, I was just doing my job, that is no defence, as the Nuremberg trials evidenced. They must be chased and held accountable until the end of time. So genocide years, you should know, for the next 80 or 90 years, we're not going to stop. We're going to find you. We're going to track you down, and we're going to hold you to account. And I look forward to those days when those genocide years are held to account. Chief amongst them, of course, that war criminal Benjamin Netanyahu, that bloodthirsty man who continues with this genocide because he has no plan. He has no plan. It's a personal plan to stay in power. It's not a plan of anything. If he was to, quote-unquote, wanted to smash Hamas, I mean, there hasn't been a rocket into Israel in a year. Hamas is now a significantly degraded military force, barely more than a guerrilla army. But what they haven't been able to smash is the Palestinians' will to resist their occupiers, a Palestinian will to remain steadfast, the Palestinian will to return to their homes. That's, you can never break indigeneity. It's unbreakable, as we've seen from our black brothers and sisters here who continue 238 years later to fight against the genocide of their own people. They're still here. Palestine will be free from the river to the sea, and, you know, we will see Netanyahu in The Hague, and I'm looking forward to that. Overnight, now Penny, I know you keep saying, Penny, that Australia sends non-lethal parts to the F-35 program. It should be very clear that the devastation that has happened in Gaza, those images that we see, the flyovers that show an apocalyptic moonscape that is Gaza, that was once a, as best as it could be, thriving city and town and areas, that grey dust that has settled everywhere, that as we mark 80 years after Hiroshima and Nagasaki, that the equivalent of something of the order of 10 Hiroshimas have been dropped in TNT equivalent onto Gaza, 365 square kilometres of dirt. That ecocide that is there, that genocide, scholasticide, all of that has been enabled and done by, not by tanks, not by submarines, but by Israel's overwhelming air power. It's F-35s that have done that, Penny. F-35s. Dropping 2,000-pound bombs. A 2,000-pound bomb, to give you some sort of scale, it's like a Volkswagen Golf or a Volkswagen Polo. Imagine dropping that onto a building, let alone dropping that onto a tent city. There's no such thing as non-lethal parts in an F-35. It might only be the door handle, but without a door handle, there's no door. There's no plane, Penny. Brazil overnight has decided to end any military exports to Israel that might be used in Gaza. It started Brazil and Slovenia, Norway previously. It's time for us to do the same. We're trying to divest through our superannuation companies and perhaps through any procurement space that you might be in. But it's time from a government level for us to be sanctioning. It's time to sanction Penny Elbow. It's time to sanction this rogue apartheid state. Thanks for listening. Share the podcast, tell your friends, and remember there's never been a better time for a free Palestine.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.